Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. Have you ever wondered, why do we spend money to eat a ton of food on Thanksgiving? What is the history of it all? In this vault episode, we're diving deep into all things Thanksgiving. Welcome to Everyone's Talking Money podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Game. There's no judgment, no dumb questions, just smart conversations about you and your money. So come on in and grab a seat. Everyone is welcome here. Welcome back to the show, my friend. It is so good to have you here. If you're listening to this episode the day it comes out, I want to wish you a very happy, happy, happy Thanksgiving. If you're listening to it later, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I think over the last couple of years, I've really redefined what Thanksgiving means. It used to be about all of the food. And don't get me wrong, I love to eat, and the food is a really good part. But these Thanksgivings lately, the last couple of years at least, I try to just use it as a day to be really intentional and really grateful for the things in my life, the things that I probably take for granted on an everyday basis. And if you've never done this, it's kind of a nice thing to do. Look around your house, look around all the people that are around, the things that are on your table, what you do for work, and just really offer up some gratitude for being here, for all you've accomplished. If you've been working on some money goals this year, use this day as a time where you're like, yeah, all right, I'm doing it. I may not be as far as I want, but that's okay. So today's episode was inspired by a question a couple years ago from Jenny. And Jenny says, "Hey, Shauna, thanks so, so much for the podcast. I have learned more than I can even imagine. This is the best free degree I've ever gotten in money. You've helped me with so many goals. I've paid off debt. I was finally able to buy a house, and I'm looking forward to getting married in the next couple of years. With Thanksgiving coming up, I kind of had a strange question that I thought would be fun for the show. Do you have any suggestions for how to do Thanksgiving on any budget? I have friends, and we're thinking about doing a Friendsgiving, but we all have different incomes, different resources, and I want to make sure it's fair for everyone. So just curious if you had any suggestions. Thanks again so much for the show. I recommend it to all my friends, and it's so fun to hang out with you a couple of days a week." Jenny, very good question. We did an episode a couple of years ago with Catherine Spires, the host of Smart Mouth Podcast. If you love food as much as I love food, you will love this podcast. It's really cool. Talks about the history behind all types of different foods and cultures, why we eat what we eat. Anyway, I was able to sit down with Catherine live in Los Angeles and talk all about Thanksgiving. How do you have a fantastic Thanksgiving on any budget? How do you do a Friendsgiving that's different? We also talked about the history of Thanksgiving and a very fascinating story about the year that there was actually two Thanksgivings. So Jenny, I hope you enjoy this conversation, and hey, maybe you might learn something that you share around the Thanksgiving dinner table today. All right, on to the conversation. So, Catherine, I am so excited to be hanging out at your place talking about my favorite subject, food, and of course, Friendsgiving.
Yes, yes, the best holiday.
Yes. I mean, I'm obviously a big fan of food and love Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is this week. So I thought, what a better time to talk about, maybe dig a little under the surface of Thanksgiving. And, you know, we sort of grow up and know that Thanksgiving is the turkey and the cranberries and the stuffing and all of these sorts of things. But how did Thanksgiving evolve into this?
It took a long time. It actually took a surprisingly long time. Like, I had no idea until I started really researching it that it was a really regional holiday from the quote unquote first one up until like World War II-ish. And it probably became more national at that point because people were feeling maybe more unified and patriotic than they ever had before. But when it started, it was probably in October was the first one. And the date was chosen fairly arbitrarily. And it wasn't chosen until the 1930s.
Really?
Actually, yeah. It was Franklin Roosevelt who finally had to like throw down the hammer on which day it was going to be. And there was one year where there were two Thanksgivings because Franklin Roosevelt and Congress were still fighting it out as to which one it would be.
So you had to cook that meal twice.
Had to, maybe.
Right.
Some people probably did. Yeah, no, I wonder if it was like divided along political lines because he wanted it to be the fourth Thursday in November and Congress and business owners wanted it to be the third Thursday in the month because they wanted a longer shopping period.
Interesting. So they were already thinking about that Black Friday thing before it ever became a thing.
Yeah. And I don't know if the original intention was to have one particular day that's like actually a physical danger to people. But I think, it must have always been that the sense was that you don't think about Christmas. It's not proper to think about Christmas until you have Thanksgiving out of the way.
Interesting. Yeah. So prior to that, there wasn't an actual day, or it wasn't a holiday?
It wasn't a holiday. So it was starting to like sort of come together, kind of coalesce a little bit. And I'm not sure when they kind of retrofitted it, where it was like, oh, it's November, it's autumnal, we'll eat a lot of squashes. but we actually think based on like the letters and things like that, that the first quote unquote Thanksgiving was in an October. So it just got moved back a little bit. But as I said, it was really regional at first because it really was a New England tradition, very specifically a New England tradition. And I think we sometimes see vestiges of that a little bit where I'm someone who's lived on the West Coast my whole life, but I am sort of aware in the universe that oysters are part of Thanksgiving for a lot of people.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And even having grown up in Seattle where we're not afraid of seafood, that is not part of my personal tradition. And even like sounds a little unappealing to me.
Right? I'm thinking, yeah. Like, seafood on Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm, oyster stew, oyster stuffing, as well as just the plain oysters, and then having lobster on Thanksgiving. If you look at original Thanksgiving menus, they're very New England-y. And they're also, well, the original one was very meat heavy. And because they were just using what they had, and they were colonizers. And also settlers who didn't have a lot of material resources. So they weren't doing a lot of like baking or things like that, complicated cooking. They didn't have special tools. They didn't have all the delicious spices that Americans have access to now. So it was like, well, let's roast some animals.
And call it Thanksgiving.
Yeah, basically. They had pumpkins, not sweet pumpkins, but like as squash. And then the corn thing is really the only connection with Native Americans, because corn was a product that they did not have in Europe and had no familiarity with, and really did have to be taught how to use that. But it's not generally believed that there were any Native Americans at this Thanksgiving feast.
I think I could imagine that.
I know what we're taught in elementary school, but I don't think that's the reality of the situation.
That's probably a pretty good assumption. So even in modern day Thanksgiving, are we still seeing these like regional differences in on what's on our table?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you can see it even just by like if you follow food bloggers or food Instagrammers and the foods that they're choosing to cook. Sometimes you'll be like, well, I'll be danged, I've never heard of that before. There are so, what's that guy's, his name is Nate Silver, and he has that website that's called like 538 or whatever it is. And he's always like doing polls and testing and seeing people's opinions are. And he did one a couple years ago about Thanksgiving side dishes. And he said that on the West Coast, the most popular side dish was salad.
Really?
Yeah.
Salad?
I was like, you did something wrong. Salad is no one's favorite. So one of the ways in which we can like trace changing food customs and food culture is macaroni and cheese. So growing up, I didn't know that macaroni and cheese was like a delicious
a real food.
Yeah. Because I really only knew about like Kraft macaroni and cheese because my little sister was obsessed with it and I didn't care for it. But macaroni and cheese has, I think, for a long time been a Thanksgiving side dish for African-American families in the South. And you can see it spreading. And this is anecdotal at this point, but I know that I made macaroni and cheese as my contribution to Friendsgiving last year. And that's someone who didn't grow up knowing that it could be like nice and elegant and tastes really good and like use spices and stuff like that. And I see now with the, you know, I follow a lot of food Instagrammers because it's like kind of my job to know what's up. And everybody's doing macaroni and cheese as a Thanksgiving side dish now.
Really?
Which is new.
Yeah, very interesting. Are there any other food trends that you're seeing emerge this year? I mean, everybody seems to be a lot into like the vegan and the healthy stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just here on the West Coast. But are there any things that are really popping up?
Well, people will say that they like to cook healthy,
but they don't.
They absolutely don't. And I actually have real data to back this up. I mean, it's semi-anecdotal because it's just me. But however, when I was the food editor at KCET, which is a public television station, we posted so many recipes. That was part of our mission, is people could like cook on their own. And we would always get requests for vegan recipes, just constantly. You would think that our vegan recipes would be through the roof hits-wise. No. I can tell you what was popular, what people actually wanted to read about. Dessert and pork.
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited. And it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Dessert and pork.
Yeah. So you'll hear from people who say they want to eat healthy the most, but no one's ever clicking on those recipes.
So maybe they're just like asking for the recipes so they can feel better about themselves when they cook the dessert and the pork.
I think that you're onto something. I mean, there are like dedicated vegan bloggers and recipe writers, and I think that they're the ones who have the audience because general interest, everyone's just lying to themselves about what they actually want to eat. So I don't think, and I also think that people really want to feel like they're indulging on Thanksgiving. For a lot of people, there's a sense of like, this is the one day out of the year where I don't have to think about it. So generally speaking, I don't think there's any like health food trends. One thing that I am noticing though is actually about dessert. It used to be, I think, kind of like pumpkin pie or bust.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe like an apple pie also to round it out.
If you're like going to be dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm really seeing people move away from pumpkin pie as the dessert at Thanksgiving. You see so many other recipes that are marketed as Thanksgiving dessert recipes. Persimmons are everywhere now. I mean, I think it's the same number that have been grown for a long time, but like you hear about them so much more. And I'm seeing all these really interesting looking recipes like a persimmon tart that I saw the other day. And I was like, that is really interesting. And persimmons are a little bit more difficult to work with than apples, but probably more rewarding if you like can figure them out.
And it's like a showstopper. If you show up and you're like, this is a persimmon tart, people are like, wow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think that as more Americans, we're learning more about like the varieties of produce. Growing up, I thought apples were only Red Delicious or Granny Smith. But now farmers have started growing as many apples as there actually are. So I think we're also discovering like pink apples and how delicious they are and that sort of thing. So I think there's a lot more experimentation with, it's still usually fruit-based desserts at Thanksgiving because I think we like to stick to the whole Nature's Bounty theme in our heads. But using like all the fruits that are available in the fall, which are a lot more than we traditionally think of.
So speaking of pumpkin, mm-hmm. we were just talking about this, you know, it feels like everything is pumpkin. Like we have to pumpkin-fy the whole, I mean, yes. Even I saw a recipe for some pumpkin flavored turkey. I'm like, why do we want to turn our turkey into a flavor of pumpkin? But
very strange.
Do you have any interesting like data or stats or how this evolved that now everything is pumpkin based?
Well, it actually makes me wonder if the reason why people are moving away from pumpkin pie as dessert is because they're so used to it now. They can just have it anywhere else. Now it's not special anymore. But I do think that the reason why the pumpkin spice flavor got so popular was Starbucks, which is either cool or terrifying, whichever way you think about it, that one company can change the way that we all eat. That's wild.
Or like the anticipation that we have of like the pumpkin spice latte is coming. It's coming.
Right. Which of course is a classic marketing trick.
Yeah, of course.
Withhold things and then people lose their minds over it for no reason. And I do want to clarify, I don't think people necessarily always think about this. Pumpkin spice, there's no pumpkin in it. So it's just the spice flavorings that traditionally go into pumpkin pie. And our brains are only so smart. If we eat the spice mixture that we're used to with something else, it's the same way why people use tofu and then they'll put like barbecue spices on and say it tastes like barbecue. Yeah, because of the spices, not because of the actual main thing. So Starbucks like got us all riled up about pumpkin spice flavoring and we all went for it. And all the other companies want to try and get in on it. Why wouldn't they?
Right, exactly.
Probably to varying levels of success.
All right. So you're the host of a podcast, Smart Mouth Podcast, which I love because I never thought about food history the way I do when I'm eating something now after our conversation.
Thank you. That's awesome.
I'd love to know, you know, it sounds really obvious that food is this unifying force, or we can sit down to a meal and we can suddenly have these hard conversations because food is there.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is? What is it about food that is this like force that can bring people together?
It's a buffer, for one thing. Like I was at a business meeting earlier where we were doing some negotiations, but like we kept like stopping to like figure out what we wanted to eat. Like you keep having these like friendly moments of being like, well, you owe me this much money. What are you ordering? Like, so it's like just like a nice little social barrier there as well. And if we're talking about home cooked foods, as Thanksgivings normally are, you have to be polite to the person who's hosting you and who cooked for you and all that kind of stuff. And then there's just the fact that these are people you might not see at any other point of the year, which, depending on people's personalities, is either going to mean like we're really going to get into it or like I'm going to be nice to you.
Right. Which, we're not going to talk about that crazy topic.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? Game on.
Exactly.
That food's in front of me and I feel like I could broach this topic now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know that there are some people who have real, let's call them lively Thanksgivings every year with their family members. But yeah, I think it's so communal and always has been. I mean, the whole idea of like coming together for this big feast is that everybody's sharing their bounty. So in a way, it's a way of making people nice to each other.
Right. I am going to cook all this food and shove it in your face.
Yeah.
And then you have to be nice. And you have to be thankful.
Exactly.
And say good things about me this Thanksgiving.
Exactly. Yeah.
Were your Thanksgivings or your Thanksgivings now, are they big or small, or how do you prefer to do Thanksgiving?
Medium sized. Well, I've never hosted my own Thanksgiving, so I don't have any like direct opinions on it. But the one that I usually go to is pretty medium sized, but sort of like contracts and gets bigger year to year. You know, people have kids, and so some years they have to like start going to their parents' house again and all that kind of stuff. But it's usually like fits at one big table. And that's a nice size. I think the main thing about hosting Thanksgiving is if you're hosting it, you have to do the turkey or whatever your main is. And then everybody else brings the sides. And actually, another thing that's cool about that is that you're eating food that you've never had before because people come from all different parts of the country and the world and they bring their special dishes. And you're like, well, I had no idea that this existed. So I love that. And that's another, you know, that's another point about why Thanksgiving is so beautiful too. You're just like learning so much. And as long as people can like keep their wits about them, it's always nice.
So, okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com
/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off.
Even if you're maybe not the best cook, but you at least take a stab at some dish that's a family dish or a regional specialty, you get a little props over just going to the store and buying whatever it is you were supposed to bring, because you're bringing some of your personality or you're bringing something to the table. And whether it's good or not, you know, that's all right.
Well, it's funny too, because you can see like who grew up in a household where you have to make everything from scratch and who grew up like dumping multiple things from various cans and that counts as cooking, because both can be delicious, you know? So if you are at a Thanksgiving with people outside your family, you're getting like all these different traditions. And like there's sort of canned food dishes that I discovered, like something called a corn souffle that is so delicious. And I only ever eat it on Thanksgiving. My friend from North Carolina brings it and it's my favorite thing. Never would have had something like that otherwise.
Right. So it's how you put the ingredients together that really makes a difference, especially when we're talking about Thanksgiving. Yeah. And I love that you don't have, if you're the host, because so many people want to host Thanksgiving, but they're so nervous about like, oh my gosh, I'm going to spend thousands of dollars to feed all these people. But I love the idea that you can really have this concept of Friendsgiving where it's not like a chore for everybody else, but you can really say like, hey, bring in something that you love or something that you grew up with and, you know, bring it to the table. And somehow then that all evolves the Thanksgiving and just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and I think Thanksgiving too is a holiday where it's really, it's not just culturally acceptable. It's encouraged to have it potluck style. So that's good too. Like no one should be afraid of hosting it because you don't have to do everything. You'll get too stressed out if you think you do. So this is like a much friendlier way of doing things.
It takes a little pressure off of
you. Yeah. And for guests too, if you really don't want to cook, you can always bring the wine. So you're set either way.
And you can't go wrong. If you're the alcohol bringer,
people love that.
People are more than happy to welcome you in.
Yes. Yes.
So tell me a little bit about Smart Mouth Podcast. Tell me a little bit about like the things you talk about. Is there like a favorite episode that you've had recently?
I always like forget who I've talked to and what I've done. Jacques Pepin, who is a chef who a lot of people recognize from like old school PBS. He's wonderful. He's been living in America for decades and decades, but he's French and still has the French accent. And talking to him was a real treat. So I did something different with him. It was more of an interview about his life because he's someone who remembers like growing up in occupied France and that sort of thing. So there's a lot to talk to him about there. But usually for every episode, I'm talking about the history of a particular dish with the guest. And ahead of time, the guests will tell me what some of their favorite foods are. And I sort of poke around and see which one might have the most interesting backstory to it. And then in the episode, I'm like, here are the facts about it. And then the guests can like tell me their anecdotes. And what I have found is that it's a different way into interviewing people. Because obviously, you know, here in LA, a lot of people come through on like their book tours, et cetera. So people who are on junkets very famously get asked the exact same questions all the time. But with me, they can be like, oh, my mom made this dish growing up and it influenced me this way. So it's like a slightly different way in to talk to people, which I'm an extremely nosy person. So I like that aspect of it.
That's so interesting. Wow. I'm going to have to definitely check out that episode because I'm a huge fan of his. And I can imagine just the wisdom that he brings and how the different dishes have kind of carried him through his life, through his career.
Yeah, absolutely. He's really lovely to talk to. And he brought a bottle of rosé to the interview. So there's that as well.
Every interview goes so much better with wine. So if you could leave the listeners with maybe one tip of something they should be thinking about for Thanksgiving, whether they're cooking Thanksgiving or they're going to their own Friendsgiving or their family's Thanksgiving, what would you tell them?
There's two sides to me. There's the real fun killer side that is like really look into the history of Thanksgiving and how it was extremely racist and all about colonizing. Like there's what we were taught in elementary school and there's what really happened. And there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that the United States is not the greatest country in the land. I know we don't always like doing that, but just knowing the history. And once you know the history and know it's not great, you can really think about the things that you are grateful for and what you do want out of this holiday and sort of like out of this country, big picture too. I think it actually makes for a more thoughtful experience, honestly. But in terms of the actual feast, like keep that part easy. Don't stress out about it because it's not meant to be stressful. And mashed potatoes are incredibly easy to cook and they're always a crowd pleaser. Just add more butter and milk. And everyone's happy.
And you can't make a bad potato. I'm convinced you cannot make a bad potato dish.
Well, the only way would be if you don't put enough butter and milk in it. So I apologize to the vegans because I'm not speaking to you right now. But it's a real, real friendly dairy-heavy dish.
So just go for it. Awesome. Well, tell the listeners where they can find your podcast and tune into all your episodes.
So I'm on all the podcast players. It's just called Smart Mouth, which is two words. And then I am on social media. Let's see, on Instagram at Catherine_Spires. And then I keep a food-specific Instagram account at Smart Mouth Podcast.
So do tell, where do you fall in the pumpkin debate? Are you pumpkin everything? Are you pumpkin nothing? What are you? I mean, I love maybe one good piece of pumpkin pie, but that's pretty much my limit of pumpkin. But maybe I'm in the rare here. Maybe everybody loves pumpkin everything and I just need to get on the boat. I think this episode was so great. I loved hearing from Catherine and I've never really thought about the history behind food, but I think it's really fascinating, that idea of different cultures and the food that brings us all to the table. And in my mission to break down the taboos about money, maybe we can use food as this thing that brings us together, that allows us to have tough conversations. Maybe try it around your Thanksgiving table. Hey, I don't know, start talking about money. Tell them a few things that you learned on this podcast. Might be an interesting experiment. Thanks so much for checking out this episode. Do me a favor, if you love this episode, share it with your friends. Remember to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And I'll see you back here in a few days for a fresh new episode.
When it comes to clothes, it's great to have options. But having pieces that you can wear anywhere is a must for everybody. That's why American Giant makes clothing that fits into your life seamlessly, with quality you have to feel to believe. And with an impressive selection of staples to choose from, there's something for everyone. So whether you're on the hunt for the perfect t-shirt, a solid pair of jeans, or super soft sweatshirts, American Giant has what you're looking for. Each American Giant piece is designed to last and created with commitment to doing things better. And all their products are made right here in America. Because keeping things local ensures the kind of quality you'll feel and appreciate for years to come. Discover the American Giant difference today. Shop wear anywhere closet staples at American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code WA23 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code WA23.